Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We're going to follow the reading from 1 Corinthians, as was noted, sharing with you just that first verse. Therefore, I want you to know, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, gathering on this Pentecost Sunday to give worship and praise to all that God has done for us, it's time to fly solo. Oh, those words for the instructor, the student pilot, oh, how awesome they are. That's the fulfillment, to be able to fly the plane by yourself. But it brings about a bunch of nerves too, doesn't it? It brings about a bunch of turmoil within, because that means if you're up there by yourself, you have no one to tell you what to do. You're going to have to remember it all for yourself. You're going to have to be able to bring it back down. Getting it up might be easy. Bringing it back down, you've got to do that safely, and there's no one to help you there. How mixed it must be to be told you're going to fly solo. Okay, so maybe not all of us are training to be pilots. But as parents, we know that awesome responsibility that's given when you let your 16-year-old get behind the wheel for the first time to drive the car by themselves. You're not going to be there to warn them about, oh, quick, look in your blind spot. You're not going to be hitting that imaginary brake all the time to have them slow down or take the corner a little slower. No, it's a matter of trust as they solo drive themselves. Flying solo is really what the disciples had before them now. We celebrated Jesus' ascension last weekend. At his ascension, he now went bodily from this earth. He had promised he'd always be with them. He would never leave them or forsake them. But now he wasn't going to be with them in the same way. He wasn't going to be with them to direct them and control them and tell them what to do. He wasn't going to be there for them to come with their questions. Lord, why couldn't we do this? Lord, what should we do now? His physical presence was gone from them. So now they had to fly solo. But they really weren't equipped when Jesus ascended on high. Oh, he had taught them well. The master teacher had taught them everything they needed to know. But they really weren't equipped, because we saw in those last days, well, one would betray him. One would deny him. Many would run and flee. They weren't ready to stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. But now, Jesus said, you stay in Jerusalem, and I'll send you my Spirit. I'll send you my Holy Spirit, which will equip you for what I have you to do, to declare that Jesus is Lord. For us, the disciples of today, to be able to declare Jesus is Lord is our mission and is our goal. We'll focus on how it comes to us on this Pentecost day, as he tells us to declare Jesus as Lord through the gifts his Holy Spirit provides, through the opportunity given to us to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Yes, for the disciples, it was still a whole mixed thing. They had watched as Jesus ascended on high. They looked up into the sky until they couldn't see him anymore, and the clouds enveloped him, and he was gone. And the angels had to tell him, hey, don't sit here waiting to see him come back. He's coming back just as you've seen him leave. But now you go to Jerusalem. You go to the city. You wait there till his Holy Spirit comes. And we have that in our first reading today from Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit did come to the apostles. And they were given gifts to be able to declare that Jesus is Lord. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians, they were coming out of a pagan society where to declare anything God, all their idols were their gods. They wouldn't be able to do anything else but just say, okay, this is this God for this purpose and this God for this purpose, and they would go on that way. I know Paul was telling them now, here's what we're going to tell you. By the Holy Spirit, you are gifted to be able to declare that Jesus is God. What are those gifts that the Holy Spirit brought to the disciples? Initially, we could hear them speaking in different languages, languages they hadn't learned as a child, languages they hadn't learned growing up or went to school for. Languages so clear and crisp that people from all the areas of these different languages could fully understand them. They weren't talking these languages in a first grade level. They were communicating all this about Jesus Christ. And they were bold, confident, telling him, this is what happened to Jesus. You had crucified him, but he rose again from the dead so that you might be his heir and child. Think of what the Holy Spirit provided those disciples. Uneducated as many viewed them, they were able to proclaim a truth which would have taken lifetimes to understand, and the Holy Spirit gave it to them right then. We're told there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. The Lord never sends anyone to do something for which he has not equipped them. His disciples of that time, he equipped them to preach in different languages, to be bold and confident. For his disciples of this time, you and me, he has equipped us to know him as Lord and Savior. He has equipped us to be able to discern from all the different gods that are currently being served and all the different faiths that are being promoted and all the different religions that are coming out of men's ideas and their thoughts. He has given us the privilege to be able to discern and know the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by the power of that Holy Spirit, to know what Jesus has done for you and me. That's God's gift, that we can declare Jesus as Lord. We can declare him as Lord because the Holy Spirit worked in our heart to know him, to believe in him. No, we didn't come up with that ourselves. It wasn't of our choosing. Scripture is very clear on that. We are dead in our sin and transgression. And dead folks can't do anything. Not at all. But God has made us alive by his Holy Spirit. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is what we are confident of. This is what the Holy Spirit has empowered us for, and this is why we celebrate on this Pentecost day the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we believe. None of us were smart enough to come up with that ourselves. None of us had enough wisdom and knowledge to be able to say, oh, I know all about this. There's no way we can know the omnipotence of God, the power of God. We don't know any of that of our own. And if we ever really could, I've shared this time and again, if any of us can really understand our God, he's too small to do us any good. We need a God greater than us, greater than our knowledge, greater than our abilities. And we have one in Jesus Christ. We have one in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit came to the disciples and gave them the ability to stand up and preach, no longer scared, no longer running, no longer behind locked doors. No, they stood and proclaimed the grace of God. And how did they do that? With gifts, no doubt they didn't even know they had, but which the Holy Spirit empowered in them. We read of these gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All the gifts the Spirit gives are not for our personal benefit, our personal going out and telling everyone how great we are. No, it's for the common good. Now listen to the list of gifts that are there. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Some might think that wisdom and knowledge are kind of the same. Well, truly, they're a little bit different. Wisdom is to know the knowledge and the facts of things, but be able to apply them to life. Knowledge is all about facts and knowing how things happen and how things work. Wisdom is be able to apply that knowledge, to apply that knowledge for the benefit of others. We might know, shall we say, like in medicine, We might know that if you cut yourself and it gets infected, we can tell. We have the knowledge that it's cut and there's infection. We might want to get the antiseptics or something to put on it and the band-aids to cover it. But it might be someone who takes that knowledge and applies it then of how we can best deal with this. That would be wisdom. God has given to each wisdom to know him as Lord and Savior. The knowledge, not just to see the facts that Jesus was born and lived, died, buried, and rose again and ascended on high. Those would be the facts, but to apply that. To know, what does that mean for me? What does it mean that Jesus died for me? It means even though we were dead in our sins, God has made us alive. And there is hope for you and me. So he says, we've got the gift of wisdom and another of knowledge. He says to others, it might be the gift of faith. Well, we're here at worship now. We all have the gift of faith, right? But we know that, and we can see it in some, they have a faith that kind of goes beyond the norm. They have one that is so confident that they're not afraid to step forward. They're not afraid even to face death. Death itself, as the Lord is bringing their life to an end, they have nothing but confidence because their faith is secure in their Savior Jesus. A faith, again, which the Holy Spirit has brought to them in their life. My dear Christian friends, we've been gifted with that same faith. We have that, and we sometimes wonder, is it strong enough? Well, there are times Jesus gives us trials. There are times that things happen in our life which God permits, and we get an opportunity to test that faith, to put our whole confidence in Jesus Christ. He said, cast all your cares on me, not just a few of them, not just the easy ones, the big ones too, to cast all our care on him, for he cares for you. Among the other gifts he gives, he says, another gifts of healing by that same Spirit, miraculous powers, another prophesying, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another in the interpretation of tongues. He says all these gifts are there. A lot of times we might say, well, I can't do that. My question for you is, who told you you can't do that? Who told you you cannot talk about Jesus Christ? Who told you you cannot live a life of confidence in the grace of God and in the mercy of God and in the forgiveness of his love? Who told you you don't have the gifts? I'm guessing it might be Satan whispering in your ear. Don't even try. You're not like everybody else. You're different. And the Lord says, I have given you these gifts for the common good, for your good as well. I came to this earth that you might be mine and mine for all time. My dear Christian friends, on a Pentecost day, when the disciples were gathered together and they had a visual of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and then they had the verbal about the Holy Spirit enabling them to work, do you think they would have thought for a moment, hey, I can't do this. I can't speak in this language. I've never learned. No, they just did it. And that's what God gives us the privilege to do, to just do it, to do what God has directed us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them always to obey everything God had commanded. And you know, the promise to his disciples then is the same unto you and me. For I am with you always to the very end of the earth. The disciples were going to fly solo. They weren't going to have Jesus to run to right away. But what did they do? Depending on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they boldly and confidently went out to all the world. Think about it. Think about what happened here. A group of 11, 12 when they replaced Judas, start out in Jerusalem, and the whole world knows of Jesus Christ. Because a few uneducated, untrained disciples of Jesus took the gifts of the Holy Spirit to share with the world. And part of that world is you and me. We're part of the ones that benefit from the gift of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost. We benefit because they didn't remain in Jerusalem, but took the message outside the city walls to all nations around the world. You see, when it comes to Pentecost, which has sometimes been labeled as one of the forgotten festivals, it doesn't get the publicity that Christmas and Easter gets. It's an important festival for us to celebrate. For it's when God made sure that we knew what happened. And we knew why it happened. And we know who did it and why he did it for us. All these questions so that we might boldly declare, Jesus is the Lord. And we don't have to worry. We can fly solo on this one. Because the Holy Spirit has enabled you and me to know all that Jesus did for us, to believe in all that God has accomplished for us, and to be given the privilege to share it. May Pentecost not stop with an event recorded in history somewhere in the second chapter of Acts. May Pentecost be a day-by-day thanksgiving for each of us as we share that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. And may, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Lord guide and direct you to live life to his glory and praise for the common good, the benefit of others, till we have the opportunity to stand with him in glory. Amen.